and welcome to the Low Level Podcast with your host today, Cosmo. Left of me, Behemoth, weighing in at 120 pounds.
Wait, what?
And in front of me, Rob, the Slayer. And we got Jimbo to the right of me. So,
you're giving away our positions.
Sorry. Viewers like to know. But yeah, so let's first talk about them polls.
Wait, this is kind of, we can't just skip this. This is kind of momentous. Wait, I mean, Cosmo is hosting. The world is turned upside down.
It's a little bit.
And well, I'm 60 pounds heavier than what he said.
It's April. Things are a little bit crazy.
Things are a bit crazy. Why is that? Why don't you talk about why is it crazy right now? What's going on?
There's a full moon. We're in a Sagittarius waning crescent.
It just
crescent.
Snowed like 2 feet.
That was crazy.
Yep. It was heavy snow.
I didn't know that was coming, so then when I woke up, I was like, oh, shit, I have to go to work. And then I had to just shovel the end of the driveway because all the plows just came in and piled it up.
Mine was so bad. It was easily like 2.5 feet at the end of my driveway.
Yeah.
And like I waited until maybe like 2 or 1 to go out there. Cause I was
A.M.?
No, P.M.
I'm just joking.
That's when I got up to go to
and
work.
And I have a little snowblower, thankfully, my parents gave me. But
you have to spin it to make it go.
I mean, you really got it is an old, kind of an old school one. You got to give it some time while it's running.
So if you're not from Minnesota, when someone says I'll be there in 20, it means about 45 because you got to get
gotta
the snow off
the
your
snow,
car.
And you got to drive real slow, too.
Clear your windshield.
There's a lot to be a Minnesotan surviving.
And then I went down to, I actually was down at the Lakers game. Versus Timberwolves
on Saturday.
Down on Friday.
Friday. Oh.
Right when the storm started. And that was fun driving through that on the way home.
Oh, yeah, to get out of that.
Oh, was it nasty?
It was very nasty. And I'm glad that I drove because we were going to drive Eric's car. And his car is squealing.
Wait, who'd you go with?
It does not sound good.
So you took your Lambo? That's sick, dude.
Well, yeah. So I was like, we better take my car because I have 4-wheel drive. And so I was like, we got to go. And so, thankfully we did because it definitely made the drive passable, I guess. We wouldn't have been able to.
You went with Eric?
Yeah, I took Eric because he's a big NBA fan.
Oh, okay, cool.
Like, really big.
He'll give you the stats, too.
Yeah, he'll give you the stats.
Nickname stats.
Yeah. Yep.
Think of the roads.
Criminal charges.
Think of the roads as if 7-Eleven slushy machine broke and just flooded the entire world. That's what the roads were.
Because
it
was raining all day before all this started.
Yeah, and then it just started to hail.
And then it just turned into just complete heavy snow,
ice.
Blizzard. Yeah. It was crazy.
It was intense.
Yeah.
But we survived.
Yeah, when I was driving home, there was just tons of cars that were
in the ditch.
In the ditch. And then there was one that I saw that was on the median. And I think it's because it was so snowy that you couldn't even see that the median was there.
Yeah.
So these people I think they tried driving up over it and they had such a low car that they got stuck in the middle of the median.
I always
so
wonder.
They were just because the median was so small. So they were teeter tottering in the middle of it.
I always wonder who those people are, when you're driving by. And
not
you
me.
See,
I'm like,
you see that car that's just spun out. You're like, what happened?
There was someone there that had stopped and was trying to help them, thankfully. Yeah. But I mean, when it's like that and there's cars behind you, it's almost dangerous to stop.
Bring a shovel.
So,
you got to have a shovel.
Got to have a shovel.
A little shovel.
Behemoth, bring a freaking shovel.
The road by the Costco and the Taco Bell going that way, there's a hole in somebody's wooden fence. And I was always just how did that happen? And then driving home that day of the storm, I saw a car that was spun up and its bumper was 6 inches from the fence. So they almost got tool holes pumped in their fence. It's just around this bend.
Yep.
That's pretty gnarly, I guess. But
you've seen people that will install barriers.
Yeah.
When they live around corners, living here because
barbed wire, arm guards.
No. talking rocks.
They're approaching the barrier.
Businesses will do it too.
Yeah.
So that cars won't fly in because it just gets so icy at the bottom of hills and stuff. And,
Moats.
So I'm a landscaper. So one time was weird. We were in Minneapolis and we had to install a hobo defense thing because they were squatting and pooping and shit.
That's awful.
So they keep going through my yard. So we had to install they would just to rest there. I mean, not them, but
Sure, sure, sure.
And we put pointy rocks and installed pointy.
Dude, that's awful. I don't know.
How'd you feel about that?
I'm a mercenary, man.
How'd you feel about it?
I'm a dirt man.
I know you're a mercenary.
You're just I'm getting paid.
It felt weird doing it, but
to stick these to stick these
forks. Yeah, so it's like you gotta find the trail they use and plant a tree there. I'm like,
oh, it's awful.
But anyways, so a Kauai month. Let's talk about that.
Yes.
What
yes.
is it? Who
so,
is it?
Yeah, so basically it's just it's a funny time when I just kind of everyone just gets a little bit Kauai in the server. You can change your nickname.
It's okay to be
get
silly.
All, get all goofy and silly. And
how would you define Kauai?
It's kind of like Sailor Moon, like hearts, you know,
cute,
funny, goofy stuff. And being I don't cute. Know. It's just funny.
So how did that,
just,
did that?
It's just kind of like an inside joke that kind of went too far one day. And then April Fool's run around and I kind of just goofed around and just changed the server and used Comic Sans for like the title and just was goofy.
So
and
you
then
the clown
I,
master?
Was it a dare?
This?
Like, how did it get to this point? Because you said it's kind of an
joke. I just did it as a joke.
Yeah.
Because I mean, you know, I think people can expect you to do something. Unfortunately, on April Fool's, it's like if you don't do anything, people are just kind of like,
"Why am I here?
Why am I here?"
I'm gonna go watch that fake Legend of Zelda trailer at IGN.
Oh, I got pumped.
Well, I feel like, it, and I think it's kind of funny because also, yeah, it's like it's basically all a big joke and. There's also like a little puzzle that I make that people have to like kind of go through the server. To
what
like,
was it this year?
It's just called the Nazo Nazo. It's just which is Japanese for puzzle.
So and, what would you do for this year? How did you?
Oh, it's piece just
it
there
together?
Was there's a bunch of clues that you have to go through. It's kind of like a scavenger hunt, like brain teaser kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was just kind of just like a little fun thing to set up. And
it all takes place on the server.
Yeah, on the server. Yeah, members know what I'm talking about.
Did you guys fall for any April Fools?
I did hardcore.
Jokes? Yeah. That's the whole point, right? Is to make people follow that, like, what the hell is this server?
I don't know.
What's going on?
Chrono Trigger remake, I got.
Yeah, you got me on that one. You were like, you sent me a thing. You're like, Chrono Trigger's me. I was like, what? I don't know. And then I was like, I searched. And I was like, you got bit.
Yeah, I wanted to.
The one that caught me, somebody posted just said, like, but what if it was real? And I knew it was already fake, but it was a post from Michael Jordan saying, I'm activating myself on the Charlotte Hornets roster. I'm coming back. And I will give this team a championship. And I'm like, could he, though?
No.
Could he do it?
No way. No. He's so old.
But I know, but he's just
so
like.
Many cigars.
Yeah.
But, dude, it's Michael Jordan. You're just like,
yeah.
Maybe?
I don't know, I can't think of any ones that got me this year. My favorite ones in the past were always from, like, Electronic Gaming Monthly. Where they had like Shenlong or something from Street Fighter was a playable character, or like Sonic was in Smash Brothers, and that always kind of fooled me back in the day because it was before all the sites started doing these. Like,
who's the developer for Duke Nukem? Starts with an A.
Realms, 3D Realms.
I don't know. It's like one of those really old like computer, maybe I don't know.
I think 3D Realms developed.
That's what I saw. But anyway, I saw something that said that they're making a movie, a Duke Nukem movie, and that got me. I was like, oh crap.
That's the kind of thing though. Like,
but I was like, oh, I could see that happening. Like nowadays with like everything being like brought back,
they're trying to make everything.
We have the perfect actor for it, John Cena.
He would be a good Duke. Yeah, I'd watch that. I've never even played a Duke Nukem game.
What?
Yeah.
I don't think I've either.
No.
I grew up in a Christian household, so.
Yeah. It was a simpler time making meat on the grill or what?
Yeah.
Cooking pepperonis on the.
There's a There's a moment at Target where I was trying to get Diablo, and I left with Tomb Raider 2 Gold instead because. My mom was just like, Diablo? No, you're not getting that.
But you're going to get Tomb Raider instead with all the like fan service.
So there's a different, I guess, world out there, universe where I got Diablo and I was a successful human, but here we are.
Yeah.
So
wait, so you've never heard any of the like quotes from Duke Nukem? Like,
it's time to kick ass and chew bubble gum. All hail the Duke.
Do you know what that? You know what that's originally from?
Evil Dead, isn't it?
No. It's from Them. I think it's called Them. It's a movie in the 80s starring Rowdy Roddy Piper.
They live.
They live, sorry. They live. Yeah. Thank you. And he says that.
Oh, he does. That's what's from?
Yes. He busts in and he's got his shades on because like his shades can see all the like.
I've never seen it, but I know about it.
It's actually a pretty cool movie to watch.
John Carpenter.
I think that's what he was like. Duke Nukem was like. Inspired by was that character.
His character, is just pretty much a badass and just kind of goes on like a. Because
that guy, he was a wrestler, And Duke Nukem gives off kind of that wrestler vibes. Duke Nukem could be a wrestler. Yeah, totally. Which makes sense while people want, like you said, John Cena to play him. Like,
I just think John Cena went too far.
What do you mean?
He should just stay in that realm. I'm sure he's a good guy, but I mean.
You know, see me?
Yeah. Exactly.
He is a good guy. That guy, I think he's done like the most Make-A-Wish out of any like celebrity. Like, I think he's probably a decent person. So, yeah. I'm all for him.
Thanks for tuning in to WWE Network. Oh, so Kawhi, let's talk about that. So, is it done with now, or do we get a badge, or what? What's the point of it?
Yeah, it was a weekend. You could kind of earn some fun little badges.
How fast do people complete it?
If you solve the puzzle. Some smart people figure it out right away. I think the people that are, especially if they've done it the year before, and then some people like find clues because they just know I like where I hide things and stuff. Like, cause I can edit things on the website. And
are you sure they're not hackers? They don't hack the Discord.
Hopefully not. Hopefully not. No.
Do you feel pressure to like come up with something more clever to like combat these so-called geniuses?
I don't know. I thought to myself this time, I was like, maybe I got to think of a way to like stop them from like, cause like with the, I think a good scavenger hunt, You're not able to find the next clue without like finding the clue before it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
So I was thinking, trying to think, oh man, how could I do that? I don't even know how you could do that online kind of thing, but you know, whatever. Maybe I'll think of something. We'll see. It's just for fun, for April Fools, to make people catch people off guard.
Is it fun for you, or is it kind of stressful?
Yes, Clown Master. Is it fun for you?
Yeah, it's fun to see people enjoy it. You know, everything.
Seems like the server gets a lot of people,
a lot of people really liked it. So a lot of people really enjoyed it.
Nice job.
I wasn't on the first, so I missed it. But is it still going?
Nope.
Oh.
Too late.
Shit. Well, I'll just tell you, if you ever go in the anime manga tab on there, that place is popping.
Yeah.
People posting like crazy in there.
Yeah. A lot of anime fans. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. Any kind of place that kind of respects Japanese culture is kind of bound to... You know, go Kawhi every once
get
in a while.
Get Kawhi every once
go
in a while.
Go Kawhi once in a while.
I can dig it.
Well, let's get back into those poll results here. Yep. Rob, why don't you list those poll results?
Well, we got number one, we got Death Stranding, 32%.
Yes.
Number one.
Yes.
Yakuza, like a loser.
Like
23 point. I'm actually disappointed. I was harping this up.
Yeah, 23% for Yakuza. It's a bummer.
That would have fit so well, but
I feel like Yakuza is like the series that's come up on the poll like really often.
Always
and
a bridesmaid.
And yeah, it's a bummer. It comes in second place, or I mean, it always gets some votes. But
so thank you for the 23%. Thank you.
We'll get it done for you.
Even if we have to cheat the system.
No, we won't be doing that.
Only if you're going to offer Amazon gift cards.
Yeah, only if you offer some Amazon gift cards.
Didn't have to. Death Stranding is just that good.
You did offer some cards. Someone, I think actually someone, maybe it was Soren, he said.
Soren brought it up.
He said, I'm expecting some gift cards now that Death Stranding won.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not a fake account this time, so no fooling. April Fool's jokes for you.
Or is it? Soren, prove yourself. I don't trust anybody anymore.
We got Moon Remix, 23%.
23.53.
So tied with Yakuza.
Thank you. Like yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
It's interesting. Actually, all the games came pretty close here.
Pretty close. That's a pretty even poll for the most part.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure me and Jim's vote swung everything. So.
Yeah. And then the Adventure of Harai High School, 20%. So
you know when you have matching poll results that we didn't get a ton of votes.
Thank you for the 8 people that voted.
No, yes.
Thank you.
No, there's a decent amount of people that
thousands?
Voted. Thousands? I think maybe like
a couple thousand.
Maybe like 40. I don't know.
Thousand?
Yeah.
We'll see.
Sick. Tell your friends to vote. If you really want to play a game, yeah, have your grandma sign up for the Discord.
Have your grandma maybe like send us a letter in the mail. I'd appreciate that with our game suggestion.
Some cookies.
We could get, it's like some cookies and recipes.
That happened at our house one time. We got a package of cookies that was not supposed to go to us.
Was it supposed to go somewhere nearby?
I don't even know.
Dang like, savages.
And then we got it, and there's cookies in there. Because I didn't realize
that
it wasn't to
cookies?
Us until after. No, I'm not going to eat cookies from the mail unless it's from Target and I'm ordering Oreos, the new special edition hotness.
So you didn't eat the cookies?
No, I didn't. No.
Who ate Special Edition what?
Hotness.
Hot Oreos?
No, I'm just talking about the new hotness.
Oh.
What is that?
I would eat. No, now
like
bringing up
Flamin' Hot Oreos.
Now
there we go.
Up, that actually sounds pretty good.
No,
I
it doesn't.
Flamin' Hot Oreo. The Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew is delicious.
Ugh.
So.
Rude, just trying to be edgy. His hat's on backwards and his legs are crossed. Yeah. He's really edgy today.
No, I'm all about the Flaming Hot Odyssey. Are you guys on, you guys aren't on board? You guys haven't been...
What'd y'all vote for?
I did not vote this time.
Ooh.
I thought I'm cool with any of these choices, so I just said...
You're like water. You
flow. I think there is a lot of people who also do this. They're just kind of like,
what
I'm
we
cool
vote for?
You know I voted for Death Stranding.
Picked here, or either they're just saying I'm not going to play, so I'm not going to vote for anything.
Sure. Although, if it had lost, I wouldn't have been upset. Because
all these choices seem like legit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got some real gamers out there picking them.
Death Stranding. Yeah. My boy Hideo Kojima. I can't let him down. So
can't let him down.
Yeah.
Got to have his time to shine.
Got what he wanted.
Since this is the only, this is the only JRPG? Technically.
Technically. So what came down to this one becoming a JRPG?
I think it was something to do with like the like system that like is in the game that like increases your stats somehow. I think it's like a very like light
kind of light JRPG.
RPG. It's definitely,
and this is funny JRPG because you can kind of stretch.
Yeah,
it.
And I think I said this in the server because someone was like, "What? I can't imagine that was a JRPG." And I was like, "Well, you know, it has light RPG elements and it's made by a Japanese developer, so it technically fits our fits our definition.
Is that pretty loose?
I mean, yeah, I'd say why not. I mean, it just gives us more games to play, and I think that's kind of what's best for the term, rather than just being so constrictive. Kind of like maybe going back to like why that director had such a problem with the term initially was because it meant like unserious, like goofy, you know, game. But in our server, it just means like, you know, where it's from and like, you know, what its gameplay elements are. So
well, and guess what, you're king of the server, so you can kind of
whatever you say goes. So
it's kind of beautiful.
You better deal with it if you don't like it.
I do like your gold crown right now. It's very thin.
Thanks. Yeah, it's
a little slime crown.
It's kind of shining a little bit more right now as I talk.
When he says he doesn't vote, it's because he's like, it doesn't matter if I vote. I'm just going to...
I'm just going to change the poll anyway. I want it.
His room has like 5 monitors in it. It's pretty intense.
Yeah, I got like an emperor chair like in Star Wars.
I control the future. How about the news there, Jimmy?
Yeah, these poll results do feel like they were determined by an AI.
That's what I'm saying.
So, yeah.
News, Jimmy?
I have to keep an eye on that.
So news, we got Infinity Strash. Strash or
Rash?
Stash?
I guess it's Strash.
Okay, a little Square Enix title fuckery going on. Dragon Quest, The Adventure of Dai, launches this fall worldwide. And it is, I guess, coming to consoles. It looks like it's a 3D action RPG.
Yeah, it's coming to PlayStation 5, 4, Switch, and PC Steam.
Yeah, still no Xbox love.
Still no Xbox love. That's
so
bad.
Crazy to me. Well, I mean, not really, but just it's crazy to me how Xbox has still not have any sort of foothold in Japan after all these years. It's like they tried with the 360 with that really big push with Lost Odyssey and Blue Dragon.
Well,
but like,
I think you're competing, although you're still competing with them here, I feel like the competition is going to be way harder over there because I feel like Nintendo and PlayStation just have these legacy
and
characters and series, and like, what do they have other than like Western RPGs that like people are going to be interested in?
But I mean, if you look at, it's crazy. If you look at like weekly sales numbers for like Xbox, it's like in the teens they track it, and it's insane.
Wow.
Like,
but how many? We were in Japan when Dragon Quest XI released. Yeah. Remember going through those department stores and they had giant like info things, entire like sections. The whole video game section was like themed after like Dragon Quest XI. That's how big it was.
And that was PlayStation only when it came out, right?
No.
It was PlayStation 4, I believe.
And 3DS.
Oh, you're saying on 3DS you were there when it came out? Because the first copy. The first copy was 3DS, yeah.
Did it come out on PS4 and 3DS at the same time in Japan?
Because
remember it came out with like the 2D version?
Oh, yeah, you're right. There was two different copies.
Well, no, I'm wrong.
I think it might have been...
But you could, on the 3DS version, switch between the 3D and the 2D. But that never came to the US.
No, not until like the
3D version of the 3DS. But the 2D version did.
Yeah, the 2D version came with the Switch version that eventually came out, but I think it might have been exclusive on PlayStation for a little bit.
It might have been.
Um, the, you know, when it originally came out. Because then I think, I think it might have been PlayStation and PC. That's what it was.
I don't think it was PC or right away. I think Steam was later. Steam was definitely later, yeah. Maybe. But anyway.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it looks cool. It's kind of same style. I mean, it's Dragon Quest. Also with the Dragon Quest series producer, Ryotaro Ichimura leaves Square Enix. He'd been working on Dragon Quest for a long time, and one of his quotes that he said was that he could start counting the amount of games he had left to work on, just with kind of where his career. I think he's like 47, which I don't think he's retiring from the game industry necessarily, but just kind of, I think he was at Square for like 30 years or something crazy. So.
Were you surprised when you saw that in the news? I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting.
I mean, not
taken aback.
To be honest, so I'm not familiar with his name. So it wasn't like Tetsuya Nomura retiring or someone like that I have grown up with.
So you're saying he's B-Squad?
I'm not saying he's B-Squad. I think he's a series chief producer, so he's obviously had a big effect on Dragon Quest. I mean,
just behind the scenes.
Right, but it's just Dragon Quest to me has always been, I don't know, whenever I think Dragon Quest, it's all kind of Yuji Horii, because he's, even though I don't know, he's not directing them anymore, or is he? Did he direct?
No, he's still doing them.
Okay, I didn't know if he's directing or if he's kind of stepped back at this point, but yeah.
It is interesting, though, like, when he does explain his reasoning, like, he doesn't want his whole entire life's career to be, kind of implies, like, solely Dragon Quest.
Sure.
He wants to break ground and do something, you know, he kind of said, like, daring or, like, inspirational.
Have you guys hit that point yet, or are we still too young?
I'm at that point. Yeah, I gotta
make a decision.
Gotta make a pivot and just do something that's gonna change the entire facet of the rest of my life. Yeah.
Right. I'm gonna be a manager or I'm gonna be a stripper. You're gonna pick one.
Yeah. For me, it was get my pro card in disc golf or work at Costco the rest of my life.
Okay.
And you know, I'm just gonna waste my money and go to the pro tour and hope I make it.
It's very noble.
Have you guys had that itch yet to like change up your career or not necessarily?
No, I mean, I guess I'm just comfortable with the way things are.
So, yeah, same.
I
mean,
I don't know. It's definitely better than it was however many years ago. So,
yeah,
can't complain. But, I mean, yeah, I guess you could always push yourself to do more and more, make more money. But when's enough enough? When is a good situation? You know, because if you're at a job where you feel, like, happy to go into, it doesn't really drag you down, like, you don't like have like bad coworkers. Like everyone's pretty happy to be at work, kind of thing.
Grass isn't always greener on the other side,
right?
That's the other thing.
And
it's like,
well, I mean, it's like if you're making more money, it might be nice, but like if you're dealing with like
more stress,
like way more stress, and like
you're
working more hours, you're working on weekends, and like maybe your benefits suck or something. It's just kind of like
right.
The benefits I have are pretty decent, so
might
as well just
comfortable. Do you see yourself doing the same thing 20 years from now?
I have no idea. I mean, I guess it'd be nice to retire where I'm at. It's not like I wouldn't have some sort of like retirement plan. So
sure. Square Enix announced the Final Fantasy VII Anniversary Art Museum Digital Card Plus, a collection of physical and digital NFT cards.
Just give it up.
You know what? Honestly, though, I think I'm.
Yeah, I know you are, because it's Final Fantasy VII.
Are you going to buy it?
You're the digital. You're going to get the physical cards?
I think I'm going to get an NFT.
Don't do this.
It's your first one.
Jim, being
an artist. I'm going to do it just for the podcast so I can talk about what it feels like,
talk about the experience of buying it.
You're
like.
Disgracing all the Mondo artists we've supported over the years.
Could
by
you show
that.
Us the NFT? When you?
I'll show you the NFT. But
we have to pay you?
No, you don't have to pay me. I'll be happy to share that with you. But. Okay. I'm not gonna like send you the copy of the image because it's my image.
Well, again, we could turn it into an NFT, a copy of the image of the card.
Well, I
would prefer if you didn't do that.
I thought it was like a 3D thing that you could like spin around and like play.
Oh,
with.
Oh yeah. Well, if it's we'll see. I didn't even look into it because I'm
this might be an advanced NFT. You never know.
I was like, I'm gonna get it, but so this
isn't no Bored Ape.
They've actually been talking about this for a while. And they did have some figures they released last year that came with an NFT, and it was $30 extra. So, I don't know for pricing on any of this stuff if they announced pricing. I don't think they did, but basically, it's NFT. Square still thinks it's a thing, and I don't know. Maybe it will be. I'll report back. I'm gonna try it.
it's going to be like card packs. Funko does it. They do like different tiers of card packs you can pay for, and that's probably this is going to be, and it's randomized RNG.
Yeah. I don't know if NFTs are a bad thing yet. We'll see. It's Final Fantasy VII.
They
we'll
are
see.
A bad thing.
Final Fantasy 16 goes gold, which is early, I would say, compared to a lot of modern AAA games. It's normally, I think, is like a month is kind of the normal lead time, but this is like two and a half months out.
Yeah.
So like, hell yeah, I think this is going to be super polished.
This has just been like a really... like a gifted year for gamers. If you're looking for like AAA titles out there, every month has got a feature
title. That's the thing. There's always like, oh yeah, this year was the best year, but I legitimately think this has the chance of being like one of the best years of all time.
Yeah.
Like with Tears of the Kingdom coming out, if 16's good, you got your Diablo 4,
Star Wars Fallen Jedi or Survivor. Yeah,
all these games. I don't think Rebirth is going to hit this year, but if it did, like that would add on to it too. But yeah.
And for people who don't know, gold means it's like done in gold master. Yeah. Not that it's been sold.
Yep. So they're gonna
gold
start pressing
discs.
It's
done. It means it's gonna
start production.
Yep. So yeah. they're not behind schedule. I guess would be
a good
sign for getting your game in June or whenever it's coming out.
Yeah, it sounds like they're ahead of schedule. They pushed it out all the way till June. Or do they need those like 3 months to production, like ramp up production?
Yeah, I wonder. Because, I wonder why. I mean, I think, that 2.5 months seems early to announce gold, but maybe they're just, because, I mean, it seems like this has been a very efficient development, I mean, compared to a lot of what a Square has gone on in the past. So, like, that, to me, points to good signs.
I think we've been talking about it before, but it's been hell since 12, so.
Sure.
Well,
yeah.
It has been, and in its own way, it's been hell since, I mean, it really has
I think 13's production was pretty smooth.
Maybe 13, you had three different games. I mean, I don't know.
But after that,
one story, I don't know, man.
14 was a disaster, the launch, and then they turned it around, Yoshida, and then 15 was notoriously, because that was versus 13, turned into 15, and then...
They made an entire final chapter for that game after it came out to fix things.
Right, even FF7 remake wasn't smooth. They kind of restarted development at the one point. So it's this seems like it's the first Final Fantasy in a long time that's been running smoothly, at least what we know about it. I mean, who knows behind the scenes? I mean, it still took however long to make it, but I think with Yoshida, I think as a producer, he's got kind of shit together and 14's turnaround.
Yeah, he's got 14. Yeah,
he's got 10 years of like, very scheduled development from 14.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm sure it was a lot easier to have a feature length game like this than.
And there's also a new trailer that dropped. There's some other related news with 16. So at GDC, the Game Developers Conference, they had like an hour long talk with the Yoshida, the producer, and then also the English translator, Christopher Koji Vox or something.
Yeah,
I think that's like his nickname, but I haven't watched it yet. I intend to check that out. I watched about half of the other trailer they released, which is like kind of a world building trailer, shows off some of the environments that just look freaking insane. Like,
I watched that. It was awesome.
Yeah. It brings me back to like watching the first Final Fantasy X stuff and like the screenshots and Electronic Gaming Monthly and like the waterfalls and all that. It like, it's blowing me away just how good it looks. But
well, you can just see on like this character model, he like his sword, it like sits kind of off center on his shirt. I'm wondering if that changes in the game, if you get like different swords and stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of detail in like the profile.
Looks really good. Show some towns. So there's definitely going to be some hub areas, and it looks really good. Graphics look insane. Forspoken DLC in Tanta We Trust is coming out in May. Tanta, I think, is probably a character from the game, so maybe it's more to do with that person's story. None of us have really played that yet, so we'll have to see. And also see if that game can kind of find an audience long term, because I think that was a pretty big failure. It's
pretty much the last thing that this company's going to produce, Luminous, right?
Because now they're being absorbed. Yeah, we talked about that.
So probably planned, but. I know some people are kind of like, oh, they're just trying to get money off a dying game or whatever.
No, it's already planned. All that stuff is planned out years in advance.
It's already planned.
They know. I mean, all that DLC.
I saw a comment like that, and I was like, I don't think so.
No.
Someone also posted a video, apparently, of finding the game in, like, a landfill for Spoken. But then I actually went and watched the video, because it's like from, like those awful clickbait websites. I think the Gamer or what? There's some like, I can't remember what the other ones are.
Yeah.
But basically, it was just like a video of like, there was a steelbook. So that doesn't mean that the game's inside of it. Usually, steelbooks are empty. And so it was just the steelbook. It was just all a bunch of steelbooks. Yeah. So it wasn't even the game.
We're not at the point where that game has been on sale for $10 and they've been trying to clear it out $5. Right. No,
there's no way that would be in a landfill because I feel like people would still pay $20-$30 for it at this point.
Yeah. Right?
Called clickbait, right?
Right. They're not Funko at this point. Because did you guys hear Funko had $30 million worth of merchandise that they were sending to a landfill? So Funko Pops?
Destroyed them all.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
They just destroyed them all.
Is it just because they didn't want to?
Just can't push them. They can't sell them.
Good,
because that's just a tax write-off. Because
they've ruined their own market. Because of, like,
I think
fans
it was just specific like models that just were not selling. I think Funko's. I think they probably misjudged the market too.
Oversaturated.
Well,
because
I'm just thinking that's just crazy. Because like, how low could you actually price them to like so that people wouldn't
no one wants
buy?
Them? Sure.
Behemoth, don't
so
you
that
have
no
some
one
of those
wants
no?
it, and it's just not make it profitable to even ship.
Just a few.
It's just guilty? Weird to me because it's like
I do because
but
of
I
the
guess
current...
that's what can happen with the Atari.
Hold on, we have someone who collects Funko Pops. So why do you collect
Funko
them?
Man?
I am, but not for much longer.
When was the last time you popped?
Sad.
Funko made some very harsh decisions with a company they purchased, and
what was it, Mondo?
With Mondo. And I'm very loyal to Mondo, so I was very
upset. What is Mondo?
What happened?
They fired the three heads of the company and said they weren't going to be making posters anymore, and then backtracked and said, oh, we are going to be making posters still, but without the people who started it all. And all the artists that we've like come to love and see their artwork, you know, come to life through these guys have kind of taken a stance against the new Mondo and most likely will not be participating in their new poster, you know, poster creating process. So, it kind of made me really sour on Funko stuff and I kind of don't, kinda
so did they
just bought dump it
out, all. They bought Mondo out.
They bought Mondo from Alamo Draft House. Yeah. Who was the original owner.
So they kind of root it for themselves, right? Is that what we're getting at?
Yeah. They fired like 10% of the Mondo staff or their company staff, which was mostly Mondo staff, and it was a lot of the creative teams.
And then released like a very tone deaf
from message.
The Funko CEO message about how they need to change and
there's too much scalping
for the future and a bunch of just nonsense.
Behemoth is weeping right now. I don't know if you can tell right now, but
well,
he
I mean,
not
Jim's the one who got me into Mondo.
Yeah, Mondo's been big. We went to MondoCon
three
times.
Yeah.
Four times, maybe?
Four times. I didn't posters. Go four times. I went three. You went four.
Drove to Texas.
Yep.
Yeah, it was fun.
But, you know, just a really cool technetic community of that, like, got me really into, like, the popular alternative art scene. So,
yeah. So, yeah, Forspoken, probably not in a landfill, but definitely not selling as well as it was supposed to or they anticipated. We got Tokyo Xanadu, not related to ABBA. EX, I have... I have to make sure that people know that the X is capitalized. EX
Plus
sorry,
yeah.
For Switch.
Come on.
There's a gameplay trailer.
What do we think of that? We watched it. What do we think? Meh? Nish?
I mean, we watched it and
no one paid attention.
It just looks like Dot Hack.
Yeah, it looks... I
don't know the story, but...
I mean, it looks like a Falcom game.
Yeah, it looks... Looks fine.
Are they pretty cut and dry? Is that a pretty cut and dry company? Nothing exciting?
I mean, no, I wouldn't say that. I would just kind of say that they, you know, heavily dive into like the kind of anime, like kind of characters and kind of like structure. I don't know. I want to say that. Maybe that's just a dumb comparison. But their games, you can kind of tell, like especially some of the gameplay. But yeah, this is definitely one of their like spinoff series.
Yeah. Live Alive coming to PS5, PS4, and PC on April 27th. So soon, that looks good. We watched the trailer, and obviously it came out on Switch last year. And
looks great.
I think it had moderate success. I don't think it lit the world on fire, but
no.
It's also a Square release, like a million games last year and already this year. But I was surprised. I thought that was going to be kind of Nintendo published so that it would remain
with Nintendo, yeah. Kind of like... Octopath Traveler
for a while, but then Octopath came to Xbox.
But
and PC later,
yeah, I imagine that probably Nintendo just has some probably exclusive, you know, release on us for whatever will help you publish, and that'll probably get your name out there so that when you publish on PS4, PS5, on PC, it'll probably sell better.
That's kind of the way they has anyone actually played Octopath Traveler? I mean, we talked about it quite a bit.
Yeah, Miles didn't.
Yes.
What do we think? Did we rave about it?
Well, the second one came out. I don't think anyone's played the second one.
No.
I played the demo.
Oh, you did? Yeah, that's right.
I picked the wrong first character to play in Octopath Traveler.
The first one is weak, in my opinion, in its characters and like kind of like its character development and like how you interact with other characters. And some of the stories are good. Some of them,
so is it overhyped? Because I feel like I'm online and people just, that's what they talk about.
One, two has had super strong reception. I think two is like one two, of Square's best like,
people
rated
are saying
games
two
in,
is
in a
kind
long
of
time.
Like fixing all the issues one had. So I'm interested.
I'll probably give up on one and go to
beautiful
two.
Game.
Yeah, and you can, and we talked about before, but you can play them in any order. They're not, it's like Final Fantasy. They're not necessarily related to each other, other than maybe some Easter eggs. But
there's really not a lot of games that you like. JRPG series that you have to play in order. There's a few like
except 13.
Normally, Dragon Trails. Quest. They mix up the cast. Yeah. There's a lot of them. You can just kind of jump in at any point. Persona. They're all kind of different. That is kind of interesting. There's a lot of
there's a few
series that do that. Like your Elder Scrolls and your GTAs that have some maybe related elements, but they're mixing it up with every game.
Yeah, but as far as like a direct story, like one after another, I think I've only seen like Trails do that, or like some other like maybe that'll be like one or two spin-offs one after another kind of thing, but never like the whole series kind
they
of
exist
thing.
But they're definitely not as many compared to just like the mix-up, but I kind of like that, keeping it fresh with the series. But I can also appreciate a continuous story. Breath of Fire 30th anniversary. I've never played a Breath of Fire game. I think
gotta play
Four on PS1.
Four is a must. Three, I think you should also play as well. I just like four's aesthetic a little bit better.
Yeah.
A lot of people say three has like a better story. I just think four,
one
the
and two,
sprite work just is like top notch.
It's really
so
good.
Awesome.
Three and four were on PS1, right?
Right.
Yep. And then one and two, what? Super Nintendo then?
One and two is Super Nintendo. One is pretty rough. I'm imagining this is the 30th anniversary of the one that was on Super Nintendo. So what we're talking about.
These longer games or no?
I mean, it's a JRPG.
30-40 hours.
It's a long one, and I would imagine, and I think the old ones are kind of rough. So I think you got to play them with some patches, to, like speed it up, and like make it a little bit better.
And it's not there. This is just, and we're just announcing it. This isn't like a celebration. They're not releasing the games as of now, but
it's just like a hey anniversary.
Yeah, the bare minimum.
Do you ever think that like one of these companies is going to be like, hey, we know you guys. I guess we've seen it with like a few times with maybe like a few games, but it'd be nice if one of these companies was like, hey, we know you guys have been waiting, you know, for us to report these games or come with them again. We're going to release them all in like one package. Breath of Fire 1 through 5. Here you go.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be super cool.
Are you calling
Mega
this
Man,
out?
Mega Man Legacy Collection did that. So that would be nice to see them do that with Breath of Fire because it's the same company, Capcom. Yeah. So let's see it.
Capcom's been on a roll.
It's on your plate. Let's go.
Yeah, they've been hot.
They've been really hot.
Last 5 years since World.
Yeah, they've been killing it. Speaking of killing it or potentially killing it, Konami opened studio in Osaka in
New
Japan.
New studio.
So this is, they kind of announced that this is not just like for mobile development, this is like a state-of-the-art studio that they're looking to develop AAA games. So Konami back? I don't know.
If they could bring back any of like old-school series, which one would you want them to bring back?
I think we all kind of talked about it already.
I mean, Metal Gear.
Metal Gear.
I'd just be so curious to see what a Metal Gear without Kojima would be. Because I think part of the beauty of Metal Gear is all the Kojima bullshit, but I also think that's part of what holds Metal Gear back. Yeah. So I'd be really curious to see.
Well, and they're already making a few. They're already making Silent Hill, some kind of spinoffs and remake of two.
And I thought they would just continue to go down that route of just outsourcing and licensing their properties, like with Castlevania. It's rumored we talked about that last time.
Maybe they're not happy with the way the creative control is kind of out of their hands with putting the licensing out there, and so they want to kind of take control with their own studio,
or just realizing that there's still a good amount of money to be made there. So yeah.
And it sounds like this studio is going to be like involved, and they're going to like really, because in these quotes it says they're going to be trying to get it to be used to its full potential, with like major production. So it sounds like this, they're going to be using this as like kind of like their main headquarters to like be making some new games. So
be cool. But
it's cool to see some, like, after seeing like PlayStation close down some of those studios, to like see some new,
some more
pop
development
up.
Popping up in Japan. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Also interesting that I think there was a tweet from, I don't know, you guys know Jason Schreier. He's like,
yeah,
kind of a industry insider, but he wrote that people at this point, if they're starting new games, they're going to be for the next systems, because that's just how long development is taking. So you got to imagine, like, stuff from this studio we're not going to be seeing until like late this gen or early next gen. 6, so yeah,
Xbox,
kind of crazy and 2. Depressing to think about, but that's just, that's what games are these days. Also, sad news, E3 canceled. I don't know, sad.
What was the deal with that?
Well, E3 is...
A lot of people are crying about
that. Yeah, what's been happening the past couple of years, the
every E3. Company has backed out, the big companies.
It just started happening, kind of dropping like flies one by one.
First PlayStation.
Was first Nintendo.
Oh, Nintendo.
Or, yeah, you're talking about this year. Or, yeah, because I don't think PlayStation was coming this year, but Nintendo famously back in like 2013 just said, nope, we're not going to do E3 anymore. Which is the big, like, electronics kind of, it's like the big kind of gaming celebration every year where everything gets announced, everyone gets together, always in June in LA at the convention center. And, I mean, it's been going on since the 90s.
Yeah.
And, long time. And there's been some years where it hasn't been what it is, but, basically, it's a place where a bunch of games get... It's like gaming Christmas into June. So it's
that's where the rumor mill
fun.
Of, like, what's your white whale to be announced this year?
Sure.
And people will make guesses because there's always a surprise somewhere.
I mean, E3 2016, that gave us Final Fantasy VII Remake announced, Last Guardian, and Shenmue 3 at the Sony conference. So it gives a lot of fun moments, but Nintendo back in 2013 decided we're just going to do the directs, which is kind of what... I think everyone is following at this point. Sony's got their showcases. Konami just had their thing with the Silent Hill. We had news about it a couple weeks ago, talking about that they're going to plan on bringing Castlevania and Metal Gear to E3. But with that not happening, I'm sure they'll just do another one of their kind of directs or whatever they're calling it. Capcom just had one with the Resident Evil 4 demo announcement. And it's kind of, everyone is kind of doing their own separate thing at this point. I think it's probably better for them, actually, because they can kind of control the message and not get drowned out in the rest of E3. Because, I mean, there's always just a shit ton of news that dropped on you during those, like...
It's usually the big games that get the most attention.
Yeah. But it also is kind of
done.
Yeah, well, it's done this year. Who knows?
Do you think it has, like, a bleak future? Like, if it's going to continue at all, or...
Who knows? I mean, at this point, with the... Jeff Keighley, who does like the Game Awards, he has his Summer Games Fest, which is kind of taking over E3. And he used to be involved, I believe, with like the production of E3. And now he kind of, I think, saw how they were handling things and decided to do things differently. But I think E3, his thing is more geared towards the press, and E3 was more of the public coming in. So I think that's the only thing that's lost, maybe, is that...
Sure. Well, this is taking place in California, correct?
In California.
California is not doing so hot as far as the COVID and stuff. So that could play a factor into that. And
I don't think it was, because I think a lot of, I mean, Games Developers Conference, I don't think they were, I mean, they're back in full force. I think people are starting to not be worried as about COVID as previously. I think PAX might have required masks, or somewhere did, but they're not. I mean, conventions are back, basically.
Yeah.
But
I think California's not doing that well as far as
with COVID stuff.
Yeah, so who knows, you know?
Who knows? Yeah, I don't know if that had anything to do with it. I think it was more of the publishers deciding that it just wasn't worth it, and they're all just kind of pulling out one by one, eventually to the point where it's like, okay, why are we doing this? But I don't know. Is anything lost? I don't know. Honestly, I'm kind of tired about hearing about E3. Is it canceled or not? Like, if it's done, fine.
I'd rather be spread out throughout the year instead of having to wait till June to find out anything about the next year's coming games. So.
Yeah. It's fun, but also, who knows if there's going to be a risk of, like, too many of these.
Yeah.
Because Nintendo's things, directs, are pretty special because they're, I feel like they're not doing that many of them, but if they're not, if there isn't an outlet for everyone to kind of dump all their news out, then they're going to have to do their own direct, and hopefully, I don't know, come up with a style that will be entertaining or interesting to watch, but.
Yeah.
Well, let's get at it, boys. So we know the winner of the game, correct?
Which the poll.
Yeah.
Death Stranding.
What did everyone think about that?
I mean, I think a lot of people were kind of taken back, because first they would be like, that's not really a RPG or whatever. I didn't really think about that.
I did peek at the server, and everyone's kind of like,
It's kind of
a little hesitant.
It's a good it's a good game for April because it takes you back. It surprises you. It's kind of like, what? Weird. That's an odd. But it is an odd game. So
right.
Odd choice for an odd month.
Did you play it?
I've never played it.
Never played either.
Never played it yourself.
Behemoth.
And then we have a couple people
here. Yes. Yeah, we've talked about
a couple nerds in the
I have completed it. 75 hours it took me to beat, but I did not beat it when it came out. I came back to it. So later on.
We do have a Bridge Baby present.
Yep. I did bring my Bridge Baby from the Collector's Edition.
It's hanging out in the
of
room.
Death Stranding.
It's a little bit creepy.
What does it look like? Behemoth, describe what you see.
Okay, so it is a life-size version that you could
feel it.
Like cosplay with. There's a light on it that turns the lights on so you can illuminate the little BB inside. And honestly, with all of Kojima's Collector's Edition releases, he always has something wild or crazy that comes with it. So, yeah, I figured I'd bring it with to have it for the next couple episodes. And
yeah,
we can get in the mood.
Next five episodes.
Next five episodes.
We'll need to do a five-parter.
No, I think this one we could probably knock out in two, maybe three.
Okay.
Be fine. Just at least what I've played so far. But Cosmo, continue.
Yes, here we go. In the near future, mysterious explosions have rocked the globe, setting off a series of supernatural events known as the Death Stranding. With otherworldly creatures plaguing the landscape and mass extinction imminent, it's up to Sam Porter Bridges to travel across the ravaged wasteland and save humanity from impending annihilation. So that sounds pretty exciting, right?
Yeah.
Who's all about that?
I'm all about it.
Yeah. It sounds like a classic, like Kojima, like, I don't know, storyline.
It is a little deceiving, though, because the way it talks about the game is not what the game you play is, necessarily.
Right.
And I think that's why this game was so divisive.
Right.
Yeah.
Because of the least. So wait, before we start, diving deep into it, you know, this is kind of like a game that's a little bit different than others. I feel like it has a lot of like real, like high profile actors.
Oh yeah.
That are doing not only just the voices, but Norman Reedus does
the likeness.
Motion capture. Mm-hmm. So this is like,
this is Kojima.
The production was took a long time because I'd imagine, and it probably cost.
It's
like a 4-year cycle.
Maybe. Yeah, he started a new studio and got a new game out within like 3.5-4 years or something.
Okay.
Sony said that here's money, do what you need to do.
I think they had to like deal with COVID as well, because that's kind of what I was going to refer to, is that
this is before COVID.
I was reading about it. There was something that had to do with COVID, and that's why it took them a while, because they had to do the motion capture and stuff like that, and that complicated things.
It came out in 2019.
But that, I swear, I read about it.
For Death Stranding 2, because he did rewrite.
Okay, maybe I was reading about Death Stranding 2.
He rewrote the script for Death Stranding 2 after COVID.
Yeah.
So, because the game, he didn't want to predict the future. Because
he's done that multiple times.
He's done it multiple times with his scripts. Yeah.
Really?
He rewrote the entire game of Death Stranding 2 because Death Stranding 1 somewhat predicted the future after it came out.
Okay, my bad. When I was skimming through the wiki earlier, it was saying that commentators later noted that elements of the game resembled the COVID-19 pandemic.
There you go. Yes, that makes sense.
So
yeah, definitely, bad. Definitely.
Yeah.
When you play it, you'll see.
But it's I really hope he releases like at least tell us what his first version of Death Stranding 2 is going to be, because it's interesting what he might have changed the game into.
Right. Because instead of COVID in the game, there's a virus called MOVID.
MOVID now.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sorry.
Just MOVID.
And then, yeah, this game sold pretty well, right? Like,
I mean, sold decently for what it is. I mean, it's like it's a very unique. I mean, there's definitely a lot that I'm super curious on how the sequel's going to do, because this sold a lot just based on Kojima's name alone. And I'd be very curious to kind of see what happens with the sales just on, and also your guys' opinion, because it is a divisive game, one that I think.
What do you mean divisive?
It is a game wholly into its own genre.
Right.
Strand type game.
And wasn't that was kind of Kojima's point, wasn't it? Like, it was like, when Metal Gear Solid came out, people called that game like an action game, or maybe it was that they called it a And actually, because they didn't know what it was, but it was like, actually, it's a stealth game. Like,
tactical,
kinda,
stealth
espionage. Yeah, he's like, I kind of like invented my own genre, and that's right. kind of what he's trying to do with this
but
game,
I think
too.
I think he says that, but it's, I mean, it's just, it's an iteration on something that's came before.
Sure,
like,
sure.
This feels like it's like the Dark Souls kind of, I don't know, Demon Souls, like Phantoms and leaving messages and all that stuff kind of taking to the next
hey,
level.
Hey, no spoilers, so. Dude. Come on.
All right, sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead, what? Are you continuing?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. So I think they're developing a second game, right?
Yes.
Death Stranding 2.
And they had a teaser trailer for it that they announced.
And a movie
at the Game
film
Awards.
Film adaptation is in the works. Apparently, that's what I read on the wiki.
Yep, there is a film adaptation in the works, but that's kind of like there's not a lot of details about it.
That's just. I kind of feel like that's Kojima's, like...
his boner for Hollywood.
Well, no, like, that would just, like, make him just, like, probably, like, he could, like, retire happy, because it's, like, I feel like for so long he's, like, wanted to kind of just make, like, a movie game.
He loves movies. I mean,
and he loves movies, and he incorporates, like, movies, things he's seen in movies in his games, and, like, you know, like, elements and whatnot.
He just doesn't want... he wants Kojima Productions to be more than just a video game company.
Right.
And so he wants it to be a multimedia... you know, conglomerate basically at some point. So, I mean, we'll see how the adaptation works. I mean, you'll play this game and I mean, it's going to be like you're experiencing a movie. So.
Yeah, I think I don't know, with his obsession with Hollywood, it's kind of, I think it was a negative in Metal Gear 5, like casting Kiefer Sutherland as a Snake. Cause it's just like, what are we doing? Like you've got Hader who still wants to do the role, but he just wanted to work with Mr. Sutherland.
Mr. Sutherland.
Yeah, and it's like, dude, you're...
Who honestly did a great job.
He was fine, but he also, like, dude, like, the dialogue, he doesn't talk a lot in that game. It's probably because he was charging a lot and they couldn't afford or Konami didn't want to pay. Like, I wonder how much of the disputes had to do with that.
Why, you wonder. I wonder, yeah.
And then this game is like that, taken to the next level, because it's like you got... your Norman Reedus, you got your Mads Mikkelsen,
Leah Seydoux,
Guillermo del Toro. Like it's got a cast of like actual Hollywood actors of varying degrees of talent, but
James Earl Jenkins.
Yeah, he got his wish. He got to work with people that are legit Hollywood players, and yeah.
So this game, like, how would you describe like? What like could you if you could compare it to any other game you guys were saying Dark Souls like is there like anything else that you can compare it to as far as it's like gameplay?
I don't know.
Not really. I mean, it's like it's literally like a walking simulator in a lot of ways, and not like the way
simulator.
Not the way. Yeah, that makes more sense. Not the way you hear like your what became of Edith Finch or I don't know some of those what.
Yeah, it is an open world.
It's not like a story-driven game in that way. Like, it is, there are gameplay systems that it's focused on, and it's very Kojima and its weirdness, but, like, what you're doing minute to minute, hour to hour is kind of the same through a lot of the game, and it's all going to depend on how you vibe with just taking in the environments and the music, and yep. I think there's a very specific person that will enjoy this game. Like, it's not anything like his previous games, other than some of the convoluted controls and all that stuff that comes with the Kojima game. But you can't really compare it to any other game because it's kind of its own beast. But
Would you say it's like a game that you can kind of like just, I don't know, respect? Like it's like the nature that's like around it kind of thing.
Yeah, like, totally. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. How much money they spent and like how good the production values are on this for what type of game it is. Like it's ballsy as hell. Like I love that they took the chance on doing this because it's not your typical AAA game.
These are the type of games that I like because a lot of companies are like publicly owned or, you know, have a lot of people who invest a lot of money and they want their return.
Well, I think maybe that's what Kojima was maybe referring to about trying to make it be its like own genre, kind of like Metal Gear was.
Well, this is passion project, you think? How do you guys feel about that? Project or just as...
I think every game is his passion project, probably.
Just him pushing the limits every time and not really taking things in his own hands. I don't know.
But again, I think him saying he invented a new genre is a little disingenuous because it's like, okay, Kojima, like, all right, just All right, just settle down a little bit.
I mean, yeah, you could just say that you popularized like a, you know, whatever simulator and then added elements to it to make it more interesting or something. I don't know. Because I'm sure it's probably new for him, especially compared to like what he has done.
Right.
But he has done like different games, like Police Knots was like a point and click kind of game. Trying to think of some other ones. Zone of the Enders.
Yeah, Metal Gear, Zone of the Enders.
Metal Gear. So, I mean, he's definitely done a lot of different types of games. And, you know, this one definitely seems like the most ambitious as far as, like, big. Seems like it's big, and it's, like, is it bigger? Would you say it's bigger than Metal Gear Solid 5?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, environmentally, yeah, if you're just going by sheer just amount of terrain that you walk through. But, like, as far as story and
the time that you could put into it, it seems like you could put more
into
this.
But that's also just because it's more, it's not, I mean, it's open world, but not, like, the land. You're basically exploring, like, Iceland is what it feels like.
Yeah.
Have you been to Iceland?
Yes.
Okay.
But it's the United States.
After playing this game? Before?
No, before. So then actually when I booted up for the first time,
okay.
I was kind of like, oh yeah, this is like Iceland. And before, I mean, he was posting on Twitter before we knew what Death Stranding was, like him taking pictures in Iceland and all that stuff. So I think, yeah, you can definitely get, it gives off an Iceland vibe for sure.
Oh, it does. Interesting.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
This game was pretty, I remember seeing back in the day, a lot of advertisements for this game. They were hyping it for a long time. No trailers, a lot of trailers and just hyping it up. I didn't bite. It was almost.
You weren't into it?
Well, what I saw was a guy walking around collecting packages and then maybe a weird baby thing.
Yeah.
Right. You know, so it's just like.
Yeah, it was kind of like, is this too much Kojima?
I don't know. It's too much.
But a lot of people say it's a good game. So I also didn't doubt that it wouldn't be
right.
A fun game. I just didn't really want to dive deep into it because I think, yeah, it was expensive at launch or whatever. I mean,
yeah,
well,
for sure.
Not more than any other normal game. But
do y'all pre-order it?
No, was this a pre-order for you guys?
Yes.
You waited pre-order out?
Kojima?
I pre-ordered the collector's edition.
Yeah, I'm day one. Anything
you're day
Kojima
one.
Is.
Kojima, yeah.
Yeah. If he does a visual novel, I'm going to pick it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I usually always enjoy any of his games, so.
Yeah, do I love everything? No. Do I think he puts out interesting work? Yes. Like, I'm all for supporting all right. that type of stuff.
Favorite Metal Gear? Do the viewers know that?
Three.
One.
One, really?
One. Just classic. The Shadow Moses, the bosses, the characters, I think it's hard to beat. Three is legit, too, but I also think...
I like two.
I don't know. I think I like two, also. It's between two and
I'm a
one.
Snake Eater boy.
Yeah. So three, yeah.
I would love to play two and three, and even one again remastered, even though I played Twin Snakes for the first one. I didn't play the PlayStation one.
Yeah. I mean, I love the balls he had to freaking cut Snake out of two and just say, no, you're playing as Raiden, this whiny boy.
This whiny boy.
And to do that, I think that, I mean, it would be a Last of Us Part Two situation again. People would freak out.
I feel like you could never do that these days.
You can't. And like and that the, was, I mean, was just, not spoiled beforehand because that was
no
early on in the internet. I mean, internet obviously existed, but it wasn't like it was how it is now. Like,
no.
You couldn't pull off the same thing.
Mm-mm.
But that's what I'm curious about with Tears of the Kingdom. I'm wondering if they're going to do like a Zelda playable too, because they've talked about that. And I wonder if they're being so cagey about their marketing because she's going to be playable too, but we'll see. Yeah.
We'll see.
Norman Reedus. I think that's why I was kind of turned off from the game for a little bit. I
don't like him.
I don't know much about him. And once I saw, I wasn't big. What the
like dead,
the
walking
dead walking?
Dead.
No, I never got
the
into
dead
it.
Dead walking.
I never got into it. So that was kind of a turn off for me a little bit. But I did some investigating.
Oh, what's the other movie that he's in that we all watched?
Boondock Saints.
The Boondock Saints. Yeah, that was a good
movie.
You like
that?
I do, but I just, I don't know. I was really hesitant. But I read a little bit more. There's a good Conan. He's interviewing him, Norman, and that was pretty funny.
Do they? Oh, while he's playing the game.
I believe
that.
So. Yeah, that was funny.
Those are always funny. And he plays. What's this character's name in the game?
Sam Bridges.
Sam Porter Bridges.
His name's Sam Porter Bridges.
Yeah.
Yep. And he's a porter for a company known as Bridges.
And he builds bridges. Yeah, it's a little on the nose. Writing isn't Kojima's strong suit, all right?
No. When you play it, it makes sense. It's a metaphor.
It's the most.
I'm confused right now. Are bridges and there's a baby glowing in front of me, and you guys are just all giggly. I don't know what to expect here.
Okay, and then the cities are all named.
Every metaphor in this game, just imagine it's like a face hugger from Aliens.
Okay.
It's just.
I feel like it's Kids Next Door.
So,
you ever seen that show?
No. Kids in the Hall?
No. The cartoon that was on Cartoon Network.
The Kids Next Door. Yeah, that was a good one.
Remember, they'd always have these weird things they come up with, and they would always be named after, like, you know, like.
Okay. Interesting.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Knots, like, mean something. Bridges, every letter means something.
Right.
I can't think of any examples from their weaponry or whatever they used. But, yeah, it kind of reminds me of that.
Would you like me to break down the premise in plain terms for you? I'm not going to spoil anything.
Yeah. I mean, even if you spoiled anything, they wouldn't be able
it
to
wouldn't,
tell.
They wouldn't understand anyways.
Yeah, you sound like a crazy person.
So you are Sam Bridges, Norman Reedus' character, and you need to travel across the United States and reconnect the United States after a, you know, catastrophic series of events that have basically wiped out humanity for the most part across the world. And
everyone's living underground.
Everyone's living underground, and the government has created this thing called the Chiral Network, which relates to stuff that is accumulated in the atmosphere now that we can harvest. But a lot of people live in these things called knots, which are like.
What does the knot stand for?
I don't know. Wait, does it actually? I can't remember what it stands for, but think of Sam as like a string, and he is
tying everything back together. There's your knots.
And there is another motive. He's trying to find somebody and makes friends along the way, you know?
Yeah. It's also kind of genius as far as the story based on what they have to do production wise, because you're not having to create this huge cast. Because everyone's underground, so there are certain people you talk to, but a lot of them are just going to be holograms. So, like, it makes sense on why they're able to get this game out at the speed they were, because there's not a million characters you have to animate. Like, a lot of the holograms feel the same, but I think it's vibe of just like the whole vibe of the game is its strong suit of like the music, and that I think a lot of his stuff that the artist he carefully picked for this. I mean, Kojima's always a big music guy. Like, if you follow him on Twitter, he's always posting about stuff, but
living in this character's shoes. And so, like, the game feels like you are, you know, experiencing all the hardships that this person's going through and the stuff that you come across and deal with along the way is. You know, what kind of drives the character development and the narrative itself. So,
yeah.
That sounds pretty confusing as hell.
Yeah. It is very confusing.
Sounds like a mailman, basically.
Kind of.
I mean, sure. And you make deliveries to help people out.
And then so basically, based on like, is it kind of like Crazy Taxi where you get like...
can be.
Where
there
you're like,
time.
You're timed and you're trying to
times.
Like...
So yeah, come later.
Avoid obstacles and like maybe just things get in your way to like try and like to finish your delivery, and then based on how well you do, the recipients give you like likes or something like
in a grade.
They give you a grade, so that increases your like delivery level, if I can understand it correctly, like your porter or something.
So there's like five aspects of your delivery level. Yep. I can't think of what they are off the top of my head, but you will improve based off of that, and your like fame as a porter, a delivery
okay.
goes up. It allows you to have new items to help make your deliveries easier.
It's kind of
addicting in that way of that you the more you level up.
So this is, I think, where the RPG element kind of maybe comes into play here. And I think the likes kind of serve as like XP that you use to like increase your stats here.
Yeah,
the factor that your character, like this game in particular, is meant to be played online because.
Interesting.
People can, you yourself and other players can build stuff that will show up in the world you're in that may help you in certain aspects of getting across difficult terrain or you know, accessing areas you wouldn't be able to without having your character just do it himself. So it's like inadvertently you don't see other players, but you are being helped by these other people.
And other people's structures that are put up,
mm-hmm.
because you can build different structures, whether it's a ladder that goes across a river or a
recharge
and a rope that's over a cliffside.
Recharge station for your bike.
Recharge station. Or there's the whole point of the game is you're kind of, it's not fun, especially in the beginning. I'm going to warn you guys, because you're not going to have like the stuff that you're going to have unlocked. The game does and doesn't do a great job of explaining kind of what you're supposed to do and like the whole weight system and how much you can carry and what you should be carrying. And
but
yes,
I think Jake and Rob, I think you guys would like this game because, you know, it is around like hiking. You can plan your routes,
right,
and do all this stuff to that you might do when you are hiking in real life, and you may find some, like, you know,
if you're primary, I think you'll like it in a lot of ways because you can kind of look at the map and then say, okay, there's a cliff here, I should bring
topography.
Yeah, mm-hmm. topography. I should bring a rope that I should hear. Or, okay. this looks a little rough for my electric bike to go through. I wonder if, is there a charge station that I'm going to be able to get to in time for?
Wow.
And there's a lot of improvisation where even if you plan things, it's not going to go the way you planned.
Nope.
And that's kind of the beauty of the game, is those moments of where that breaks down and then you just have to kind of figure things out. And it's like, okay, I ran into this area and this didn't work out. I lost my bike, so I'm going to have to walk. Right, my walking shoes are running low, so I have to kind of watch out for that or maintain. All right, I'm going to drop these packages because the weight I'm carrying doesn't make sense for the environment I'm trekking through. So there's a lot of changes you can make on the fly, and that's, I think, what keeps it interesting. But early on, you're going to be confused. First 3-4 hours, honestly, I didn't really like the first time playing, and then you start to leveling up and getting more equipment and stuff that makes your deliveries easier is what's very
addictive. You make it to the first distribution center, and that's when the game like starts to take off.
Right, and then you get stuff that just makes your deliveries, 100 times easier, where you're not worried about balancing.
I've heard the game really opens up once it kind of gets out of its own way, kind of thing.
Sure.
Yeah. What we failed to mention too, I'll just say this and leave it at that, is the reason people are living under the ground is because it's the rain that falls from the sky. It's called Timefall, and it makes everything age at a rapid pace.
Okay, so could we maybe talk a little bit more about like kind of like the setting and the world that it's in? Like maybe we mentioned that it's like a post-apocalyptic kind of like
the United States, right? Post-apocalyptic.
So the government that's control, is it the United States government or is it kind of like a world government kind of thing? Or
it's
is
a newly created United States government.
Okay.
You'll see, and a lot of that stuff will be answered right away, kind of.
Okay.
But then also, do not expect landmarks because this is, it's kind of funny because it's like Kojima loves the U.S., but then he also apparently loves Iceland. So then
he combines them.
So don't expect like a horizon, like Forbidden West or Zero Dawn situation where there's recognizable landmarks that are covered in shrubbery and dirt.
Sure.
This is Iceland, and it's like, oh, I'm in Minnesota, but this looks like Iceland. Oh, okay, cool.
So this game kind of resonates with me in a sense because mailman, right? So I got a funny story. I lived in California for 6 years, so I got to know a mailman.
You were in California for that long?
Yeah.
Jesus. Doing
film shit. So I just got to know my mailman really well. He had big ass fucking calves, and he talked about halibut fishing and stuff.
It's
and
a
then,
mailman makes sense.
So the girl, a girl I was dating at the time, she's like, "Yeah, I talked to the mailman," or my roommate. She's like, "Yeah, he believes in Bigfoot."
Wait, you said girlfriend, you changed it to roommate? Is there a story?
I actually
there?
Was living with my girlfriend. Yeah, she was a roommate for a second.
Oh, okay.
Or not? I don't remember. It's so long ago. Oh no, yeah, my girlfriend did tell me. She's like, "Yeah, the mailman. He believes in Bigfoot, and he wants to meet you." I was like, what? Are you kidding me? So it was just a really awkward, because I see him too. We just had a really weird connection. He's like, hey, we're going to, there's a burger place in the Northridge, California. It's called the Dog House. He's like, meet me here. This is true. He's like, meet me here next week at 3:00. I was like,
what?
This is true. I'm like,
talk about Bigfoot.
Because I've had some Bigfoot experiences, or, you know, weird experiences.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, he really wants to meet you. I was like, okay. So it was just really weird of like, all right, so I've never met this guy, but he's my mailman.
Yep.
And the burger place is like a 2 minute walk.
Yep.
So low barrier of entry. You're kind of like, all right,
a little bit.
I'll bite.
So I get in there and then it was just, I sit down. Like I know my mail. I see him. So he's some other guy, right? He sits down. He's like, hey, Tommy, this is Jake. And we just, and there was like a bigger man, bald guy.
Yeah.
But,
so he brought someone else along.
Exactly. Around his route.
Yeah.
So I meet this guy. He talks about a Bigfoot experience.
Yeah.
And, do you want to hear about it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Let's go.
So this was really weird because we order our food. We're just kind of awkwardly like, like we know why we're here. We're just not saying
okay,
it.
Okay.
Right?
So, I mean, have you talked to this guy before? Or is this
I've never
like...
talked to the mailman before. I've never met this other guy before.
Yeah. So you're getting a new experience with two new people.
Right. But we just, it was awkward. He's like, yep, yeah, Jake believes in Bigfoot. And then I was like, oh, yeah. So we're cool here.
Yeah, we're cool.
This guy was,
said that everyone just kind of
laughed. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's like, you cop? That's basically what it
they
felt like.
Yeah, they don't have to look at the exits of the room.
But yeah, you
like,
take your hand off your gun.
Yeah, exactly.
They can relax.
So, you know, I'm talking to the mailman. He's in his outfit still on his break. This is important. Like, he's got, you know, 30 minutes to eat. He's picking here. So this guy was, Tommy, I think his name was in the mountains hunting with three buddies. And I think they were white-tailed deer hunting. Anyways, they're sleeping in the back of their pickup on some mountain. And they hear this deer getting shredded to bits. Like, very, like, primitive. And, like, it's like these ungodly fucking screams. But it was... He's like, yeah, it didn't sound like a mountain lion. Because the guy's in the... You know, he's a hunter in the mountain. He just knows things. Anyways, he's like, it sounded like this Bigfoot was just... tearing it apart the way the animal was fucking yelling and shit, and then just dead. And then they're all looking at each other with loaded guns, and they got the fuck out of there. But you know, that's just it was weird. Then I told my experience, but it was just so that was my experience.
What was your experience?
I was midnight rafting at night with a little inflatable raft and a broom, and I'm having issues.
Is your paddle?
Yeah, it was the kind of the starter of that back in the day. Like, it was a crazy idea. My buddy, we kind of invented that over here. Anyways, so it was fucking crazy. Look across the bank, and this, all the animals go dead. Like, seriously, like the crickets, silent. Yeah. Everything just completely stops.
And stillness in the air.
Yeah, everything stopped. And then we look over, we see this, like, 10-foot tall, is like, orange eyes.
What the
fuck? Seriously, orange eyes.
Okay, hold on. Was anyone under any influence of any? Okay.
No, we're all straight.
Straight. Continue.
We see that, and then the thing slowly backs in the woods, and then all the animals ramp up. Like, heard coyotes.
It came back to life.
Everything. Yeah, it was just really everything. Fish. It was, my buddy AJ can attest. It was really, like, all right, we should probably go home now. But then. Anyway, so that's my...
Wow.
Yeah.
What did they think of your Bigfoot story?
I think everyone dropped their french fries.
So they saw him in California, you saw him in Minnesota?
Minnesota.
Yeah, they're all over. There's some... I mean, they roam from here to Ontario.
Yes.
It's a northern Bigfoot. Because everyone says Bigfoot.
Thank
Bigfoot,
you. Skunk
but they don't say... They don't
skunk
say,
ape. They got different names
but
for it.
But they don't
it.
Say exactly. Bigfoots. Like, they don't say plural. Like,
well,
everyone
they say
assumes,
big feet when they're talking about lots of different things.
Because my impression of Bigfoot
Sam
is that...
Squatch.
Sasquatch.
Sam Porter Squatch.
Or it's just Squatches.
So there's, my impression is that there's just one Bigfoot, like there is one Loch Ness monster.
No, come on. You're
it's
missing
like,
the...
It's an evolutionary thing, man. It's like there's Yetis.
Chupacabra.
I mean,
Mothman. Not Mothman. That doesn't sound as cool. Mothman? That's not spooky.
Okay. Well, speaking of weird, let's go back to the game here. Speaking of weird things... What the hell is this baby thing inside of the capsule?
Can someone, you want to hold it?
I know we've talked about, like...
All right.
Yeah, what, like, God, it's strange.
I don't know what to, I don't know how to say, like, too much, because I
don't
want to
say too much, because...
You don't have to say too much, but maybe talk about, like, what the hell it, like...
So...
It's called a bridge baby?
It's called a bridge baby, and they are harvested from the womb of a still mother.
Wow.
And they are able to sense the presence of these things that you come across in the game called BTs. And They are used to, yeah, they're just used as like a detection device. And
so it's the live baby inside of a container.
It is live.
It is.
So it's as fucked up as you think it would be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can post a picture of it to the, thing.
Yeah, if you want, you certainly can. I think it's in the, it's one of the badges you can get from finishing the game. It's the bridge baby.
Oh shit. Oh. I'm definitely getting it.
Dang.
Yeah.
Sick.
I think, yeah, it's kind of like your lifeline. It kind of gives you an idea of what's going on. You kind of, there's some unique elements. Though, I mean, it's kind of secondary.
Is this kind of like Yoshi's Island where like the baby will cry if like things are getting a little intense?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh no.
If you take a big fall.
Oh, yeah. Oh no.
Baby can get upset.
So it's always strapped to you.
Well, because this whole game is basically about managing your resources. That's what it is. It's managing your battery level. It's managing your equipment. It's managing how much weight you're carrying. It's managing the happiness of your bridge baby. Like everything kind of comes into play where it's all just balancing and kind of managing all these systems.
Or breaking the game.
Or breaking the game and just building certain things that can allow you to do certain
just
things.
You can break the game here.
Yeah.
In your own way. So.
But it's a very strange game, I don't know, I've never played anything like it. I think I'm about 20 hours in on the PS5 version. I've talked about it on some of the previous podcasts of my impressions, which no kind of spoilers, but I'm digging it. I'm really liking it. And I'm glad this got picked because it gives me an excuse to get back to it with Chrono.
What about it?
Loved it, but it also took up a lot of my gaming time, so I'm excited to play
something. What, your precious gaming time?
Very precious gaming
time. What would you
time.
Be doing?
Couple of kids, you know.
I had started this game when it came out, and I took a break after about like 20 hours, just because like other stuff came out, got distracted. But like when COVID struck in 2020, I found myself getting back into it, and it being like very like cathartic, because it's like a very somber, melancholic game to a certain degree. The music really sets the tone and the vibe that. The atmosphere that you're in, it really pulls you into what's going on in the game. So, for me, it was just like this game was like nothing I had played before. And, you know, that's why I'm so excited for the second game. Cause I felt like it was, you know, you never thought you're going to see a Kojima game ever again. And a lot of people hated this game when it came out cause they thought they were being lied to.
Yeah, some of the, facts about development. Cosmo, if you want to take off on that.
What are we talking about now?
Some of the development, how that started.
I mean, so kind of like...
It started with Konami and Kojima's relationship breaking down.
Yeah, because it pretty much, it seemed like it was going on for like a long time. I think it started in like July 2015. And
after a lengthy corporate conflict with Konami as a restricted subsidiary, Kojima Productions closed in July 2015, which actually wasn't that long ago.
Nope.
And Jimmy, what happened?
And then they reformed.
Well, he reformed and he announced a partnership with Sony for an exclusive to be developed. And they it's kind of big news that they're going to use the Decima engine made by Guerrilla to kind of speed things up, because obviously he didn't have use to the Fox engine that Metal Gear 5 came out on. So that kind of allowed him to kind of pick up the pace. So, I mean, starting...
So that's a partnership with Sony then, because Guerrilla is owned by Sony, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yep. Yep, they're announcing they use... And it's kind of cool, like, their whole... I think they gave him, like, a little... I don't know, like, SD card or something that... as a symbol of this is like the game engine. I don't know if the entire game engine was on that SD card, but they had a very good relationship and he was posting about all this stuff on Twitter. So we kind of knew like some things about it. And then just these cryptic trailers that were coming out.
Right.
Did he test all the engines first or was it just,
he was going to studios. So he was definitely making the rounds.
Yeah.
He was doing his kind of world tour of going to all these different studios. And I wonder if that was just kind of seen.
Yeah.
And I wonder if any other developer could kind of get away with that too, because he's kind of a celebrity and a lot of people just love Kojima for his past work.
Yeah.
But he was kind of invited and welcomed, opened arms into a lot of these studios, which, I wonder if it was him Just kind of taking time off and seeing what he's wanting to do next or just exploring technologies. But I mean, in a lot of ways, like, it's kind of interesting because game developers are secretive just about a lot of things. So it's interesting to see just allowing someone to come into your studio and check things out. But,
well, it was weird too, because like he was like the hottest commodity in like the gaming market at that time. And like Sony landing him and saying, hey, here's an open book for money, spend whatever you want, after Kojima talks about how parts of the game were just like redone multiple times, soundtracks were.
But that's all stuff that's assumed too. Like, I don't know. I mean, who knows how much Sony actually gave them? Like, this game doesn't scream, oh, this is a GTA level production. It's definitely, you can tell that it was developed not on a budget, because it
smaller
has
a smaller team
that has high production values, though. Like, it has that polish in a lot of ways that you'd expect from a Kojima game.
But the faith they like showed for him at the time, it was pretty like
he could do whatever he wanted.
Yeah.
So can we talk a little bit about like how the game was like announced to the public? Like, was it like a big kind of like a shocker? Because I know he left like tidbits about his
Game Awards
studio being moving to independent and kind of like that big announcement. But like, yeah, was it like a Game Awards announcement or?
I thought it was a Game Awards, and I think we knew. Well, I mean, because after 5, his kind of relationship started falling apart, and then he was developing Silent Hills, which got canceled famously, which is going to be a collaboration with Guillermo del Toro. So then that's when he decided to leave, which is also kind of interesting, though, because we don't honestly know a lot about what happened, and everyone kind of took Kojima's side. So not that he's not kind of that he was fine, but everyone is. Who knows what actually happened? Like,
think people naturally take Kojima's side because Konami just kind of shit the bed.
Sure,
was shitting the bed there,
and they just assumed
they were going in like
a
weird direction. It seemed like they were only caring about profit, and they were just kind of making bad games.
Well, and they started going into gambling and making pachinko games.
Yeah,
with the themes.
Right. And then like Castlevania was going in a weird direction. Lords of the Shadow wasn't really anything like.
Well, it was produced by Kojima.
Right, it was produced by Kojima, but it also was like not
War.
Right. It wasn't really like any other, I don't know, Castlevania game before.
They're kind of floundering.
They were just kind of floundering, and then I feel like they're just kind of banning a lot of their like older like legacy series. So it was just kind of like whatever.
Yeah, I mean, if I could see kind of the behind the scenes on any game, like I think Metal Gear 5 would be like one of the best ones, just to see how that relationship broke down over time.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to say, though, like, it was absolutely depressing when they kind of split ways, because the PT demo for Silent Hill was like, that was the horror game I had always been like looking forward to. And it was Junji Ito, Guillermo del Toro, and Hideo Kojima, and Norman Reedus. You find out it was like the main character. But like, I remember holding on to that PlayStation and not letting anybody do anything to it, because you could never download that demo ever again. And I mean, it was like a dream team collab for a huge title that I loved. And then, you know, you're never going to see it ever again.
Right. It's a bummer.
Yeah.
It's like a shooting star, you know?
Yeah. Shooting star. Mm-hmm. Burned out.
Well, yeah, that's kind of, I mean, the game, it entered full development in like 2017, came out in what, 2019? I think you said before.
Yeah.
And the director's cut came out not too long ago, right?
2021?
21, yeah.
Yeah. And that's on PC as well. So it's nice. We're all going to have to give that. So you recommend playing the director's cut regardless, just because of all the added content?
There's added content. There's added items that you can use. I don't know, story wise.
Yeah, there is more story added to it. I don't know what it is yet because I haven't finished it. But more weapons, more tools, more vehicles, more structures.
60 frames a second. I don't know if they patched the PS4 to run at 60. I can't remember.
And DualSense features.
I didn't fucking say it. Miles brought it up.
DualSense features for the PS5.
Honestly, though, it's one of my favorite DualSense games.
Here we go.
Like, when you feel that tightening the strap on your backpack and you're pressing that L2 with a little bit of resistance, like, you can feel it. Like, it.
That's the favorite part about camping.
It's tightening those straps.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, yeah, honestly, I think they do a good job with the DualSense, which, I mean, it's Kojima, so no surprise. But
we maybe didn't go into too much depth about like what this game really is about, but I mean, you really just have to play it to
we'll
see
do that.
It.
We'll do that next time.
I mean, it's something all to its own, and it feels familiar from other games you may have played, but it's definitely an experience like that I think shouldn't be missed.
Well, with that, what games have you been playing?
Well, I just picked up Bayonetta Origins, Syriza and the Lost Demon. I've been playing that. It's been pretty cool. It's not like the other Bayonetta games.
That's what they all say.
Well, no,
that's
not
until all the ladies.
All the Bayonetta games are like Devil May Cry. This is more like a top-down puzzle platformer. So it's pretty chill game.
I haven't really been playing much other than Warzone. I'm not going to go and talk about. We've been getting some big dubs.
Yeah, oh talk about gosh. Some of those wins.
Three
though.
Wins. Oh man, it's been great.
It's hard to explain when you're in the
What's
heat of battle.
What's your guys' strategy? Like,
well, it's basically
what weapons you like to use. Come on,
long distance AR.
Yeah, I like to use my SMG.
Ninja.
Fast.
So you guys are kind of opposite then on your playstyle.
Yeah. I mean, I can use a sniper. I can hit with a sniper.
He can snipe. Doesn't do as much.
It depends. I mean, yeah. Because always end of the game, you always want to have two weapons, and then I used your SMG assault rifle.
It
and
depends.
Then, yeah, what you want to do at the end of the game though is you want to be quiet, not be seen.
Shh.
And then you wait for things to move in, and then
that circle's closing. Because
that circle's closing, and then you kind of just like tactically have to figure out. You want to also maintain the high ground while the gas is moving in.
Yeah, being quiet.
Because if you don't have the high ground, then you're not going to see everyone else's that's moving
coming in. Yep.
And then you got to be careful about. So you don't get pincered by two teams, and you know. So I mean, it is pretty cool. Stress. It gets pretty crazy, like when the circle gets smaller.
It's fun.
Yeah. No, I've been playing that, and then my wife's been on a kick. She's been playing some Fallout. So
yeah, I saw.
That's been
Fallout 4.
Yep.
Nice. So you've just been watching her. You playing?
Yeah,
too?
I've been watching. But help her.
A little bonding there, huh? That's cute.
Yeah, she's pretty good at. She likes those Western RPGs, those first person, Elder Scrolls.
So how does she feel about the? The JRPGs, then is she kind of against it and what we're doing?
No. I mean, well, I guess, yeah, she's not really into Japanese RPGs all that much now that I think about it.
Has she ever? I don't think so.
No,
right?
I don't think so. I think if it was first person,
that's
she'd probably give it a try. She's not really into third person. Oh, she liked Grand Theft Auto.
Maybe she'll like Kingsfield then.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. That game is brutal. Cosmo, what are you playing?
What am I playing? Oh, shit.
This is a question.
I said Cosmo, not
yeah.
Rude.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, shit.
How about 1, 2, 3, we'll say it at the same time. 1, 2, 3.
What are you
saying? Chorzone. I'm just playing Chorzone. That's all.
Yeah, you should play with this, man, because...
I downloaded it.
The team...
That's a big deal.
When we have a team, we get wins after wins that actually knows what they're doing.
That'd be fun. Yeah. If you guys play tonight, maybe I'll play.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you just need like mics. Just one person.
Just let us know if you want to play. Or say, hey, you know what you should do? Just say, hey, I'll be on and whatever, and then we'll be there.
Do people get angry at you guys when you like make a mistake? Or like, do you get
Some
angry?
Some people get mad at us.
Yeah.
Like, we just kind of brush
like
it
that
off.
That one guy that got mad at your name.
Oh, gosh.
A lot of people get mad at our name sometimes.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
And then you give them lip back. Yeah. And you shoot them down real quick.
There's some really disgusting people on Warzone that are just, like, awful.
Jeez.
Just, like, some of the shit that they say. Bad, like, you know.
Bad manners.
F-bomb, N-bomb, and all that kind of crap.
Right.
Just
nothing
trashy,
very clever.
Trashy people.
Yeah, they didn't grow up on reading Emily posts and the importance of manners and
yeah right well you just mute them or my favorite thing is when you get into a game with somebody and it sounds like they're in like a wind tunnel
yeah
or they're in like a
oh god
they're in like a basement
or the baby's the worst
yeah there's always a crying
or
baby.
Someone vacuuming or the stupid freaking
the girlfriend yelling at the oh, at the boyfriend that's
or the smoke
the
detector beep everyone
yeah,
knows
the,
that
the smoke
it's
detector
like
beam.
It's yeah. like fuck dude just put batteries in your thing
or disconnect it because you're just that's pretty much what you're doing
or put out the fire
babe just give me 5 minutes 5 minutes we're almost done
yeah, that's pretty much what happened she's like you play that play that game more than you pay attention to me it's
a lot of breakups
a lot of breakups over voice chat
with I mean the amount of people that play the game you're bound to kind of get the life experience
you're bound to
see yeah what people's lives
well it's
are
a
like,
free game so I think you get all walks of life
yeah. Have you ever been a part of a breakup where they come back and they're like, boys, I guess I'm free the rest of the night?
No, I don't think we've heard that.
Not yet.
Yeah, not yet.
All right.
Yeah. So,
what about you? What are you playing there?
Resident Evil.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Remake?
No, Resident Evil 5.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay. Oh. Okay.
I'm almost finished with 4.
With 4, 4 Remake came out, had gotten great reviews, but I think I talked about it last time, but there's issues with like the Dead Zone on Xbox, and like PS5 has some visual things. So I'm kind of a purist where I want to play the best version. So I'm going to wait.
It doesn't have any visual things.
So I'm playing with my brother, Resident Evil 5, which we played way back in the day when it came out, I think like 2009. Mm-hmm. Two TVs, two 360s.
Right, because that one's like a co-op one that's supposed to be really fun.
Yeah, super fun. I think it gets a bad rep. I think the people that don't like it are the people that probably play it single player. Right, which
that
I
don't
see,
have
but
co-op.
That don't have friends. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Ooh. That makes sense.
But I played it with my bro, and I thought it was like one of my favorite co-op experiences back in the day, and so far it's been holding up pretty well. Not in every way. Like, it is... There's some action movie bullshit that
have
I can
punched
see.
Have you punched some boulders yet?
I haven't gotten there yet, but okay. Stuff that... kind of, you can kind of see the progression of 5 to 6, where 6 just kind of jumps over the rails and it's just not great. Yeah. I remember giving up on 6, but 5 we beat. And I mean, yeah, again, parts of it don't hold up in the same way, but overall that survival horror, yeah, I'm all for. Mm-hmm. And I'll play 4 later. I've heard it's really good. Final Fantasy 7 DLC on the Power Wash Simulator.
Oh yeah. Okay.
So I've been playing that.
Okay.
Carry some stress.
Yeah, it's fun. It's cool. You guys should actually check it out. Well, you guys don't have Game Pass.
Is there Easter eggs?
I mean, I do have Game Pass.
But I wouldn't buy it. I mean, there's cool things. So basically it's just like Power Wash Simulator is a game where you're using a power washer to just clean things that are dirty. And this is like what you're doing in the FF7 DLC because Square Enix published it. So they did Tomb Raider DLC for Power Wash Simulator, and then also this FF7 DLC, where I think there's 3 or 4 different stages, where the 2 that I've played are you're cleaning it's like the Shinra Museum from the Shinra Tower in FF7 Remake, and there's like the car that you escape in the original FF7 game, I think, and then you're just cleaning up. You're cleaning all the mud and grime and dirt with your power wash. But it's kind of, it's not what I expected. I expected more, I don't know. It's very like kind of pixel hunty that you have to get every last inch of dirt. Like, I figured it'd be more physics involved with like the water and the soap, but it's not as high budget as I expected it. There's
that's a bummer.
There's no music. So I was just playing.
Sounds just like normal power washing to me.
Yeah.
I put the FF7 soundtrack on the side. Yeah, I did it myself because there's probably some weird
licensing. How depressing.
That they didn't want to do, but yeah, clean that guard scorpion up, clean the truck up, and yeah, it's fun. It's kind of
clean up the bar.
Yep, it's good. The bar I didn't do yet, but that's one of the next stages. Well, I think.
Okay.
Does your wife give you shit for that? It's like, Jimmy,
she doesn't know, and she doesn't listen to the podcast, so she'll never know.
Do you feel like there's some lore tidbits in there that'll enhance your Final Fantasy VII experience?
No.
Okay.
But there are a couple books I bought that might have some lore tidbits. So I bought Final Fantasy 7 on the way to a smile.
On the way.
And then Traces of Two Paths, a novel that I'm going to read and kind of report back on. But they're both written by Kazu Shige Nojima. And actually both have pretty strong reviews on Amazon. Not that that means anything, but...
Well, are you excited that you're on the way to a smile now?
I mean, I think... Potentially,
That is the worst subtitle.
I mean, they're both. Look at the two paths. Look at how many different fonts they have on the cover.
That
beautiful.
I love it. The other one looks like a Final Fantasy VIII like beginning.
Yeah, it does. I mean, there's. It's. We'll see. I mean, I'm just. I think I should dig in. It's my favorite game of all time. I should probably dig into the extended lore and kind of.
Is this canon? You've played Crisis Core now.
Crisis Core. What could be worse?
Right.
True.
So we'll see.
And Dirge of Cerberus. Are you going to do that too?
Dirge. I do plan on playing. I got the retro tank set up with the PS2 that I was testing out, and I'll have to play that. But, so these just came from Amazon on the way over here, so I figured I'd just bring them along and show you guys.
It's amazing.
Well, you guys still learn how to read, so we'll get you there.
Yes. And then I finished Zelda 2, Adventures of Link. God, what a fucking slog.
It gets bad at the
end. I hated that game. Like, honestly, though, I could see really enjoying that game back when it came out. Like, if I was that age, I would have fucking loved it. I know I would have, because it's deep in a lot of ways that I think a lot of, like, NES games weren't at that time.
Yep.
Like the RPG mechanics, the different spells you get.
Yes.
But how unfair it is, at least with my gaming time, like, I'm just like, I don't have the patience for a certain kind of bullshit. And it's not that I think there's just certain enemies that you're just going to lose health to no matter how good you are. Where I feel like in even like a Demon Souls or Dark Souls or whatever, like I feel like I can kind of get the patterns down where this, it feels limited by the controls. It feels limited by your movement. Or then it just at that point feels unfair, which then just becomes more frustrating.
There's some enemies that are just like a complete slog.
So there's some enemies that are just complete slog. And I was thinking, I was like, if they did like half the damage, it would have been the difference between me liking the game and hating it.
See, that's why I don't know, when you guys barked at me for using mods before, that's why it's like, it's totally worth doing with some of these older games, because it actually makes them at least enjoyable. Because a lot of the times they design those games that just do that just so that it's longer.
Right. And then what's more important coming out of the game? Because then as I was playing it and using save states and all that shit, I was like, man, I should stop being such a purist.
Exactly.
I should stop being so hard on Rob, basically, because, I mean, what's more important, that you played it, the original version, or that you came out with an enjoyable experience, honestly?
Exactly.
So I think it was cool.
It has a lot of potential.
Cool in that it's cool to go back to it, and it's completely different than the first game. I mean, most of it's like 2D, so that was completely different. It's completely different than Zelda in a lot of ways. So it just says, again, as kind of an academic, just viewing into the past, it was enjoyable. But by the end, I was just ready to be done,
right?
Because I wanted to get to the next one, which I started Link to the Past.
No, that's where it starts to get great.
Immediately, right off the bat, like, man, that's like another, like, we were talking about like PS1 to PS2 jump before,
yep,
but like going from NES to Super Nintendo, that must have been mind-blowing back in the day, too, because going from Zelda 2 to Link to the Past, the controls are smooth, the graphics are amazing, the art style looks great.
Music's
super great. The dungeons are more...
How far did you make it?
Just did the first dungeon. So got out of the kind of the castle in the beginning, and then did the
great
first dungeon.
Great beginning, too.
Great beginning.
Epic beginning.
Rain, going outside the house. Like
sneaking
it's just
into the castle.
Just classic. And I'm really enjoying that so far, and I think I'll try to beat that before too.
I feel like a lot of things that like Zelda does, even today, kind of started with Link to the Past. Like kind of the themes, like, you know, sneaking in the castle. I feel like you did that in 64, right? And so I feel like it kind of like starts a lot of those like monsters that you've seen, and like other, I mean, I know a lot of them were in the original game, but I think you could there's a trade quest, I think, in that one.
That's kind of cool. A lot of the Zelda games, because the trade quest then comes into Ocarina, and I think Ocarina, there's like the mask, which then kind of led into Majora's Mask, like all the mask stuff. But
or maybe I'm thinking the Game Boy one starts the trade quest. Well,
either way, a lot
it's
of
nice
their...
to see them like Zelda like kind of like take its shape to like what it is today.
Yeah, and they all borrow from each other. I mean, even like Tears of the Kingdom is borrowing elements from like Skyward Sword. So that's what I love about that series, is just kind of what they borrow from each other. And that's why I'm also trying to go back and play the older ones, just so I can get more of an appreciation of the older games and what the newer games have borrowed from.
Well, thank you for that.
What have you been playing? Just Warzone? That's it?
Yeah, just Warzone.
All right, yep. That's it. That's right. You said that.
Yeah.
So, well, I guess till next time, folks. So, thank you for listening, and catch you later.
See ya.
Bye.